I say follow me, as you heard in the sermonette, as I follow Christ. I've never asked you to follow me any other way. Well, anyway, we are to be protected. I wanted to read that part of that to you. Now, I'd like you to understand. Let's go back and bring ourselves up to date. There was a time when the government of God was on this earth. It filled the entire earth, but at that time the earth was inhabited by angels. We read in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, of the angels that sinned, and you read in the 14th chapter of Isaiah and the 28th of Ezekiel about the super archangel Lucifer that was on the throne over the angels and that led them into that sin, who was perfect in all of his ways from the day that God created him until iniquity or lawlessness and rebellion was found in him. Now, he became Satan, no longer the archangel Lucifer. He is now Satan, and his angels that sinned are now demons. They are perverted, and they're perverted in mind. Now, God's greatest feat was what he then started. God's great purpose and his greatest feat, what he even intended with the angels, was to develop holy, righteous, perfect character. That's the character of God. That is, well, it comes from a right and a righteous attitude. It's the attitude of love, of giving, of serving, of helping. The other attitude is self-exaltation, of ignoring God, of exalting yourself, of lust and greed, of coveting, of vanity, and of jealousy and envy, of competition and strife, and rebellion. And that is what has seized this world. And that is what has caused all of the trouble in the world. To people in other nations that don't understand the English language quite so well, I put it the two ways. One is the way of get, the other is the way of give. Love is giving. And all this other is the way of getting for self. Now, God's greatest feat is to try to develop and create character, but God cannot himself just automatically create it. Character is something that the one in whom the character comes has to make his own decision, and God has to leave us free to make that decision. He can't cause us to make it his way. He has to let us make it our own way. And that's what God did, and the angels chose the wrong way. Now then, God then made man, but he made man out of matter, because the spirit being, the angels, had failed. Now God says, I'm going to reproduce myself. God said, I, and that I meant God the Father and the one who later became Christ. In other words, the Word who was with God and who was also God, two different beings, but forming one God, because God is a family and not a person. Of course, there is the Father at the head of that family that we think of as God. Anyway, he now created man for the purpose of forming that character, that we can do what the angels could have done, and which was their potential, but which they never realized. Now, God made us of flesh, of matter, of the ground, so that if we followed Satan, and he left that decision to Adam, because he didn't know which way Adam would decide, that he had the plan of redemption through Christ, that we could then be forgiven and brought back and start all over again and still develop that character. Now, man's great potential is this. When God created the earth, and when he created all of the planets, it was a good deal like, have you ever visited one of these shops of unfinished furniture? Well, I have, and I have some furniture in my home that was purchased there. You save a little money because it's perfectly done, but it's all raw wood. And the varnish, the polish, or the paint, or whatever, has not been put on. And you do your own finishing, and you save some money. Brethren, that explains how God created the planets all over the universe, including this earth, including our moon. God never created anything in a state of decay like we find them now. That is not the way God created them. Decay is the result of something that has gone down that was once much better. But God did not finish the work, and he had put angels on this earth to finish the work, to beautify it, to glorify it, and to make it more beautiful. But instead of that, they destroyed the earth. They went into destruction. He put man here for the same reason. Now, let's just notice next, now, back in Genesis, the first chapter, and in the beginning God, and the original Hebrew word is Elohim, which means more than one person, but only one God, created the heavens and the earth. For, and then the earth came to be, or was, became, without form and void. The Hebrew words, tohu and bohu, mean chaotic in confusion, waste and empty, or decayed. It got into a condition of decay. That is a condition of degeneration after it had been much better. And then in 6 days, God renewed the surface of the earth for man. Notice in the 104th Psalm, verse 30, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. But his spirit goes ahead first. And thou renewest the face of the earth. When did God renew the face of the earth? Well, right back here. It had been here with angels before man. Angels had destroyed it instead of beautifying it and making it better. Now then, darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, the whole surface of the earth was covered with water. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth, look. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now the first thing he did, Satan brought darkness. God restored light. And that light came before the sun, which is mentioned in the fourth verse. And undoubtedly, if we had the right translation, the sun had been there all the time, but had not shined on the earth until his fourth day. But anyhow, that's just a little technical matter that we don't need to go into right now. Notice now in Genesis, God had given Adam his choice. First, God talked to him and explained all about his own government, about his law, about his way of life. He explained of the opposite way. He explained the way of love, the way of giving and helping and serving and sharing. He also explained how wrong the other way is. And he didn't allow Satan to come to the man and the woman that he had created until after God had taught them. And they had instruction directly from God. Now, they believed in God. They knew he was their creator and their maker, but they did not believe him. Then Satan came along, and they believed Satan. And Adam said, in effect, look, Lord, I'll just put this in modern language. This is not the language in the Bible. I want you to get your nose out of my affairs. Now, I will decide for myself what I think is right and what I think is wrong. I reject you as my God that I should worship. I reject you as my ruler, and I will not obey you. I want you to keep out of my affairs. I'll take care of myself. And so then God said, in effect, and I'm putting this in modern language, okay, Adam, it was your decision. You heard me, you heard Satan. You believed Satan, you did not believe what I told you. You have made the choice, you have made the decision. You have passed up the tree of life that meant God's Holy Spirit would have given you immortal life. You have chosen to take to yourself the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, I sentence you to just what you have asked for 6,000 years, to be absolutely you and your children after you that form the whole world, to be cut off from me for 6,000 years. Now, after that, I will come down and rule, and the one who is talking was the one who is Christ and who is coming. I will come and rule myself for 1,000 years. So, notice here now in the third chapter of Genesis in verse 22. The eternal God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, lest he get God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, the eternal God sent to him, that's Adam, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, but he placed a curse on that ground even. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, or angels, archangels, and a flaming sword that turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, lest he go back and gain immortal life. Man was shut off. Now that is God's responsibility. If God shut mankind off, and if God has sentenced man to be cut off from him, God is not condemning them, and they're not going, as most churches would believe, to